This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Under the Shadow.
As I see the children go out, I think to myself, what could feel more secure to a child who is having a time of being fearful and frightened than to be able to go into his parents' room or her parents' room and be embraced by the strong arms of a dad or the caress of a mom. What could be better than that to take away their fear, to take away their discomfort? The Bible tells us that we are safe in the arms of the Lord. The Bible tells us that he cares about every need that you and I have this morning. Philippians 4:19 says this, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." Too many times that's interpreted to understand material things, that God takes care of our material things, our daily bread, and he does. But that's not the extent of his care and the extent of his love. He loves us in every aspect of who it is that we made us to be. In other words, he cares for you. He cares for how you're doing emotionally this morning. He cares for where you are on your spiritual journey this morning. He cares about the issues that you came through the doors with and maybe had a hard time leaving that baggage outside. Maybe you brought it with you this morning and it's in your mind. God cares about that. Maybe it's the issues that you're dealing with from day to day. Maybe there's somebody in your life who has been very difficult and you're having a hard time reconciling yourself and dealing with that person. God cares about that. God has created, the Bible tells us, a safe place for you and a safe place for me to go. When all of life seems to be tumbling in on top of us, when it seems as if the whole world is against us, or it seems that we are in a situation where there are giants that are intimidating us, it's too much for us to handle. And God lays out a promise and he lays out a path here in the Psalms. And I'd like to share with you God's emergency number. We have 911 and God's also got his own 911 and it's Psalms 91. Let's stand together as we read Psalm 91, all 16 verses together, as we show respect and honor to God's word. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou tremble under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to take this verse by verse, not going to take all the verses. I'll get to that point in a minute. Verse 1 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Who is the he that's being addressed? That he or she is every person who has a close relationship with Jesus Christ. That's you if you've put your faith and trust in him. Those who trust in the Lord have experienced his pace, his peace, his comfort, his joy, his presence in the darkest times of your life. You know that. You have a testimony. The reason that you have a testimony is because you've been tested. There is no testimony without a test. And there isn't a person who's going to make it out of this world alive without some scars. Some things that have tried us and some things that have tested us. But there is a place, the Bible says, that you and I can go from protection. And it's with Him. It's being close to Him. How close do you have to be under somebody's shadow? Pretty close. The closer you are to Him, the more you feel His presence in times of need. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. It's one thing to repeat that the Lord is your reference, and there's another to believe that He is your reference, my reference. You see, with God, it's personal. You ask Jesus to come into your heart, you now have a personal relationship with the Lord, with the Creator of the universe, with God and with you. This is a personal matter and a personal relationship. When you love somebody, you want to take care of them. God loves you. He not only says so, He demonstrated it with Christ coming into the world and dying for your sin, but it doesn't end there. It continues by how He demonstrates His love for you and how He cares for you through the difficult times of life and what He promises to do in the scripture. Verse 2 refers to the Lord as our refuge and fortress. In the psalmist's day, if an army was under attack, they would be at a strategic advantage if they were behind the walls of a strong fortress high up on a hill. The enemy was at a distinct disadvantage trying to fight up the hill. The enemy would find it a very difficult time to get up a hill and be shot at with arrows and whatnot. Who's the enemy of your soul? And what are the enemies of your soul? Your peace, your joy can be under attack. On your own, you're at a disadvantage and you're extremely vulnerable. But when Christ is your stronghold and your protective wall, you are at an advantage, not only to survive the assaults that come, but also to be more than conquerors. He becomes your fortress. He builds a hedge of protection round about you. He's the one that keeps the devil's darts from hitting you head on. He's the one that's promised to be your protector and also to put you at a higher place for you to be able to change perspective, to be able to see your situation from a different vantage point. You no longer feel like you are a victim of this circumstance. You now begin to believe that you will be victorious over this circumstance because God has given you a different perspective. He's on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? He wants you to know that. In verse 2, the psalmist says, my God, in Him will I trust. Who do you trust? Do you trust your employer, your investments, your social security check, your diploma, your doctor, the government, your family? You can make a case for trusting in any and all of those. But the truth is, the only one you can really count on in days of difficulty are Jesus. And He says, trust me. Trust me. We've put our faith in many, many places in the course of our lives. And we have found how many times we've been disappointed. We've made a wrong choice. We've put our faith and our trust in something that let us down. Jesus said, I'll never let you down. I'll never fail. I'll never abandon you. I'll never leave you all by yourself. You can trust me. Do you? Do you trust Him this morning? Do you trust Him on the basis of His word? And do you trust Him on the basis of your experience with Him? Jesus says, trust me, we can get through anything together. Just trust me. In our text, the Lord makes 23 promises. I only want to explore 10 of those with you this morning. Number 1, verse 3, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, the fowler is a bird catcher. And he sneaks up on his prey and he catches them unaware. So is it in life that there are things that catch you by surprise. You didn't anticipate those things happening. You didn't expect this to happen. You never thought that your life would go off in this particular direction. You never thought that particular bad thing would ever happen to you. You never imagined that life could be so disappointing and you could be so distressed and stressed as a matter of what's happened. things that catch you by surprise. The midnight call, the medical test results, the loss of your job, the loss of a loved one, financial reversal, disappointment with the people in your life. Just as you thought you were getting on top of things, something happens. And then, to quote a very good theological phrase, bada bing, bada boom, you're caught completely by surprise. I never thought that was going to happen. You're on your back looking up. The Lord would have you relocate from your back to your knees, and then from your knees to your feet, so He can walk you out of the pit of despair and give you the courage to go on. And sometimes we just need to know that there is hope beyond my circumstance, hope beyond the situation, and hope through it. God never promised to exempt you from life's difficulties. He only promised to help you get through. And that's a great promise. Things that we can't get through all by ourselves can be gotten through with God, because with God all things are possible. Even the situation you're going through now that finds you in chaos and turmoil. God's made you that promise. Now what you've got to do is you've got to claim it. We don't do that. We hear the promise, we're excited about it, but when the rubber meets the road, we don't say, God, you made me a promise and I claim it. The ball's in your court. Listen to what he told Joshua, who is now captain over the armies of Israel. He was on his own. Moses wasn't there to help him anymore. And listen to what he says to Joshua, who is shaking literally in his sandals. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wherever you go, he's there. You're never alone. That's a wake-up call, by the way. Number 2, verse 5. The Lord says, don't fear the terror by night. These are the things you can't see that materialize. You can't see worry. You can't see anxiety. You can't see insecurity. And you can't see fear. They're like a bad dream. When you wake up, they disappear. 95% of what you worry about never happens. And what you worry about won't change the 5% that do. What are you doing? It's good for us to have a sense of concern. Yes, that's fine. But worry and be anxious? God wouldn't do that. Jesus promises to displace those anxiety-producing nightmares with a healthy dose of his peace. Look at John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Claim it. Lord, I'm all worked up over this situation. I'm anxious. I'm stressed. My fear is just running amok. I can't concentrate on the things I need to concentrate because I'm so worried about X. Turn it over to the Lord. Say, Lord, get me past this. Get me through this. Watch over me. Put your arms around me. Bring me to that higher tower. Bring me to a place where I can have a different perspective on my present circumstance. He'll do that. He'll help you to adjust your attitude, adjust your perspective, and re-examine your outlook. Number 3, don't fear the arrow. Verse 5 says, don't fear the arrow that flies by day. Those are the things you can see. They come to you fast and furious. Change, new changes, tests, temptations, upcoming surgery, a new job. You see them out there on the horizon, and you're sure that they are bigger than you are. It's not the size of your challenge or your circumstance. It's the size of your God that matters. Number 4, verse 6. Don't fear what walks in darkness. Those are the things you can't understand. You know your point. You know that you're at a point when you ask God, why me? You know you're there when you're asking God, why me? I don't understand why I'm going through this. After all, I've been a good guy. I've never done anything to anybody. I've never hurt people. Why is this happening? I just don't understand. It's at this moment that God's purpose is hidden from your understanding. And it's at this point where trust in God is truly tested. Can we trust him to be in the driver's seat of a situation we can't understand? Remember the Old Testament account of Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery. How many times do you think he cried out to God, "Why me? Why are you allowing me to go through this? First, you allowed me to be thrown into a pit. You allowed my brothers to do it. You allowed me to get into slavery. You put me in jail because of some lying person who said terrible things about me. You put me in the darkest prison. I'm practically a slave. Why me?" Have you asked yourself that question lately? Why you? But here's what Joseph said after all was said and done. After he had been through it all, he was looking back on it. He says this in Genesis 50:20. "But as for you," he says to his brothers, "you thought you intended evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Adversity can be a great teacher. The lesson for the believer is, in time, you will see God had a plan and God had a purpose for what you've gone through. God's got a plan. Your steps are directed by him. You're not just walking this alone. You're not just haphazardly falling into situations. It's not serendipity, which means the accidental falling into the pit. God's directing your feet. All of these things are meant for your learning. All of these things are meant to teach you something. But you have to be reflective, and you have to be trusting, and you have to believe. Number five. Verse 13, he promises to tread upon the lion. These are the old powerful sins that were dealt with, that you've dealt with for years. Over time, with God's help and a lot of praying, they will become toothless and crushed under your feet. Over time, we all deal with sin. Nobody can be sinless. Jesus was the only sinless one. There is a remedy when we Christians sin, and that remedy is confession and repentance and moving on. Confession, repentance, moving on, and claiming the blood of Jesus Christ to wash you away. He doesn't make you guilty. He convicts you. There is a difference. He doesn't condemn you. He convicts you that what it is that you're doing wrong. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you that what you're doing is wrong, then it's time to confess it. And it's time to want to move on from it. Number 6, verse 13. He promises to tread upon the adder, the poisonous snake, illustrative of those sins that are habit-forming. We've allowed them to slither their way into our lives. Over time, their poison has entered our bloodstream and become habits. Over time, those habits have defined our character. If not crushed, they will define our destiny. These are the sins that you've allowed to be in your life. You've grown comfortable with them. You said, "Well, this is one snake I can tame. This is the one snake that I can give away anytime I want." Why haven't you? "This is the one habit I can break. I can do this, no problem." Well, why haven't you? "This is the one situation, if I really wanted to, I could overcome it." The Bible says that you can't overcome it on your own. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." This can be defeated with God's help and with God's help alone. And it would be wonderful if you had a mentor in your life, a brother or a sister in Christ, to whom you can go for strength, to whom you can go for counseling, to whom you can go for encouragement and be a prayer warrior for you to help you along the way. You need all of that stuff. Number 7, verse 13, he will defeat the young lion. New sins that are even more powerful than the old ones. New temptations, so powerful they can kill in a single swipe of claws ready to ensnare you. New doubts, new fears. Sometimes they're worse than the old ones. And these days we are being challenged with so many issues as Christians. These new things that we're supposed to celebrate, these new things that we're supposed to accept, these new sins that are no longer being called sins, these things that challenge us at the very point of what it is we believe and why we believe it. There are so many ways in which the world is trying to ensnare us, to capture us, to poison us with philosophies and attitudes and ideas that will take us further and further away from Jesus and have us to look at God's word as not really the truth, but just a set of old scholarly manuscripts from another time and another place that have nothing to do with our life today. We're being suckered in. These snakes slither. You can't exactly know where they're coming at you, but they can get you. Number 8, verse 13, he will defeat the dragon, the monsters, the enemies of God, the Antichrist, the Hitlers, the Mussolinis, the Stalins, ISIS, corrupt corporate executives, politicians, cruel, godless leaders. Acts 17:31, he's appointed a day in which he will judge the worlds. God cannot be and will not be mocked. There will be an accounting. We look around the world today and we see all these horrific things going on. I mean, just the latest round of decisions on the part of state governments to allow babies who were born, who came out of the womb, to be destroyed. What kind of a mind does it take to think that's all right? The Bible says that God will deal with his enemies, the Adolf Hitlers, the Mussolinis, the Stalins, corporate and political people who are leading us astray, and for that matter, people in ministries who are leading us astray too. You know, when things go out like this, we better be sure that there are ones pointing back. Number 9, verse 15, he will be with you in the day of trouble, is a promise that he made. In times like these, it's easy to forget Jesus loves you and he cares for you. There is a tenderness to Jesus' love that really is what we need in certain critical moments of our life. You can see it as he mourns over Israel's sin and rejection of the love he had to offer. Matthew 23:37. How often I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen her chicks under his wings. There is a tenderness to the Lord's love for you and a tenderness to his love for me. He always wanted to hold children and put them in his arms. The Bible talks about the everlasting arms of the Father. The Bible's talking to us about being like a chick under his feathers, a place of protection, a place of warmth and security, a place of love, a place where you can feel secure. In this world where life is changing every minute, information and misinformation is coming at us so fast we can't process it in our finite minds. And it makes one feel very insecure about what they believe and why they believe it. It makes one feel very insecure about the things we know to be true versus the things that we're told that we don't know whether they're true. Where can you find truth today? I don't know. Where do you go to find the news that's true and accurate and balanced? I don't know. But I know this. I trust this book. And I trust the author of this book. And so when I read this book, I'm reading true news about human nature, and true news about what sin is, and true news about what God's love is, and true news about his care, and true news about my destiny because I put my faith and trust in him, and not because I may or may not be a good guy. Jesus has his Father's tenderness, who in verse 4 of our text has said, he will put us under the protection of his wings, in his shadow, close to his heart. Number 10, verse 11, he shall give his angels, that's plural, charge over thee. Hebrews 13:2, we remember this from last week's sermon. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. A closing story. Among the U.S. Marines who fought against the Japanese in World War II was a 21-year-old corporal, William Devers, who considered himself an agnostic. No amount of arguing, Bible quoting, or coercion from his fellow Marines or the chaplain could sway him. During the company's first major encounter with the Japanese, a number of the unit were killed, and the chaplain was wounded. In great pain, the chaplain called to Devers, my left pocket, take it, please. Last night I had a dream. In the dream, an angel appeared and told me that I had to make you take the Bible. Take it, son, please. Devers shoved the Bible into a shirt pocket to satisfy the wounded man. 20 minutes later, Corporal Devers' squad stumbled right into a Japanese patrol. And before he knew what had happened, he was on the ground, his mind fading into the darkness, certain he was dying. When he came to, he felt a ripple of pain shoot through his chest, but there was no blood. The bullet had torn into the Bible he carried in his pocket, ending its journey into the book of Psalms, which read in Psalms 91, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. No coincidence, a miracle of God's love and care. Are you asking God to keep his promises in your life? Is there a giant in your life that is so overwhelming and so intimidating you feel you can't get past him? You can't knock him down. You can't get over him. You can't get through him. You can. You've got to believe, and you've got to trust, and you've got to put that belief and that trust together in faith and walk as one who is victorious. There is victory in Jesus today. Amen. Do you know him? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart that you might be able to follow him the rest of your life? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he King of your heart? Is he number one on your list of priorities? Is growing in your faith your highest concern and priority? Caring for others, part of what it is that you believe is your faith walk. All of these things you have as yours because you are safe under his wings this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just pray your blessing that these words from your word might touch us at the point of our need this morning. If there be any here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, is not found him or herself under the protection of you, under protection of your shadow, under the protection of your wings, that this morning might be a morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Savior, what a great morning to change all of that, to get a different perspective on life. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't have a relationship with you this morning. I pray your forgiveness. I pray, Lord, that you might come into my heart. I believe in the Jesus who died for my sins on Calvary. I believe in the Jesus who laid in the grave for 3 days. I believe in the power that raised him 3 days later, and I believe that he stands in your right hand and that he's coming back soon. I pray, Lord, that that Jesus would enter my heart, that your Holy Spirit would reign. And I pray all these things in his name. Amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.